Well, I should speak something.
Ich will etwas weiter sprechen.
It would be wrong not to, since you've all come here expecting me to say something. And specifically, you should speak something about Krishna. Yeah, many things that can be spoken about, but we should speak about Krishna. And what shall we speak about Krishna? Because Krishna is everything. And he's also separate from everything. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nacha hante shravastitaha. Whose Bhagavad Gita is this? Yes, do you know the meaning of this verse which I just said? Do you want to translate the verse? Say it in German. No, I thought, as I saw all the verses that you're learning fallen out, so I thought maybe you know.
Not this one.
You don't know this verse. Where does it come? I think it's in the 7th chapter, verse number 4, something like that. Let's have a look. My guess may be wrong. No, it's not that one at all. I always get, like many others, I mix up. Where does it come? Yeah, it's chapter 9 takes 4. I always mix up the 7th and the 9th chapters, which are quite similar in many ways. Chapter 9 takes 4. Okay, please read out the translation. I'll read it in English. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So everything is in Krishna, but Krishna is separate from everything. Did everyone understand that? Well, it's not understandable by mundane intelligence. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada begins this purport by quoting Atashi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hijivado Swayam Eva Spurati Adaha. Which you can also read the translation of. The name, form, qualities, pastimes, etc. of Krishna cannot be understood by the mundane senses. They're not accessible to the mundane senses, but when those senses are purified by the attitude of service to Krishna, beginning with the tongue, the senses are engaging in Krishna's service, beginning with the tongue, then Krishna manifests himself to such a devotee.
Also, Sri Krishna's name, sein Ruhm, seine Spiegel und so weiter können nicht durch materielle Sinne verstanden werden. Jedoch, wenn die Sinne gereinigt werden, kann sich Krishna besonders, also von der Zunge, kann sich Krishna vor den entsprechenden Geweihten manifestieren.
Krishna is transcendental.
Krishna is transcendental.
We've all heard this word transcendental. It's a fashionable word among people who consider themselves spiritual. What does it actually mean? It means beyond the conditions of this material world. There are certain Sanskrit terms which correspond to transcendental. Which correspond, which mean transcendental, or they parallel the word transcendental. We can quote these because these are the technical exact terms by which the science is to be understood. So one term is Maya Atit. Maya Atit. Word, you can say. Just say word, isn't it?
Yeah, word, yeah.
But term has a slightly different meaning. It may not mean just a word, it can mean a group of words also. Anyway, this we don't have to get into philology here. As Sridharananda Maharaj does in the lecture. Anyway, Maya Atit means beyond Maya, beyond the influence of illusion.
Maya Atit bedeutet außerhalb von Maya, also nicht von Illusion
betroffen. Maya means illusion, but it also means the whole world or the whole ethos of illusion.
Maya bedeutet Illusion, aber auch die ganze Welt von Illusion.
So another similar term for transcendental is Trigunatit, which means beyond the influence of the three modes of nature. Atita. So how can we understand Krishna if he's beyond? We are in this material world, so how can we understand Krishna? Well, Krishna is also here in this world. He's beyond it, but he's within it also. And everything is related to Krishna. Krishna also personally comes to this world. As we see in this picture. Who's Krishna? You might think the big strong looking one is Krishna, because but although Krishna is looking smaller here, he's actually much stronger. So you may think, well, this is just some kind of childish imagination to think that the supreme truth or God comes as a little boy.
Also das kann wie eine kindliche Vorstellung erscheinen, dass die höchste Persönlichkeit Gottes als ein Kind erscheint.
Fights as a wrestler.
Und kämpft als ein
wrestler. Now that's a bit of an obscure word, isn't it?
Ringer.
Okay. Ringer, is it? They get in the ring.
Yes.
They get in the ring, and sometimes they get thrown out of the ring. So we might think this is some kind of childish imagination of some not very developed people. Some primitive people have a concept of God as a young boy, something like this.
Es kann sein, dass das eine kindische Vorstellung ist von Leuten, die nicht sehr entwickelt sind. Krishna ein Kind ist. Ein
Pray to Krishna to give you intelligence. First time translating. In both German is your second language and English is your third, fourth, fifth, somewhere like that. So, you know, please be patient. So, did you get all that? You got the last sentence. All right. Did you translate what I just said about your?
No, sure.
You can if you like, yeah. And the Deutsch and English are actually quite different languages.
verschiedene Sprachen.
What do you think? The structure, the vocabulary, they're quite different. And they're also quite different from your first language. So if I had to translate, for instance, from Hindi to Bengali, it would be fairly easy because they're similar languages. But anyway, Krishna is giving you the intelligence. So we might think that stories of Krishna are just that, just some stories meant for the entertainment of not very enlightened people. But actually the greatest philosophical constructs in the world establish that Krishna is the supreme, what we would call in English, the supreme absolute truth. Yeah, it's difficult. Constructs. Theories, you could say. It's not exactly theories, though. Philosophical systems? Okay, you got it. There's one word. They establish that this Krishna, this young boy, is the supreme absolute truth. What is in English called? You have some standard term in German for that, I would presume so. I think that came from German, actually. One of the German philosophers made this term. It's a fairly recent term, absolute truth. But actually in Sanskrit there are, from long back such terms. We have here in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is described as Param Brahma. So Brahma means the, it has many meanings. It means the ultimate reality.
Brahma hat natürlich mehrere Bedeutungen, das doch es kann bedeuten die ultimative Realität.
And Param means supreme. So Krishna is this supreme manifest or the supreme ultimate reality.
Also Para bedeutet höchst.
The first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a concise definition of the Supreme Reality, who is Krishna. Succinct, short, squashed, everything squashed into a lot of stuff squeezed in tight. Yeah. And then the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam is simply explaining this verse, this first verse.
And then the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam einfach erklärt im ersten Vers.
So let's get the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that the first canto, part one? Okay, so in the meantime, you can find that verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yeah, it's in German. That's why we got it. Janmadya Sayaton Vayaditaratas Chat Hesh Vabignya Swarat Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye Vuhyanti yat suryaha tejo varim ridang yata vinamayo yatra trisargom rasha dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam satyang parang dhimahi. Please read the translation. It's, yeah. It's in Polski. Oh, you don't have it in Deutschki. No. Okay, well, I guess I'll give a translation off the top of my head. So, this begins with the word Om, which is the summation of all the Vedas. It's the compressed Vedas. Then Namaha gives the sense of subordination. We are offering our respects.
Namaha bedeutet unterordnung. Wir erweisen unsere Respekt.
I mean, every one of these words needs an encyclopedia to explain it. So I'm just saying briefly here. Yeah. And actually that encyclopedia is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the Bhagavatam has so many commentaries on it also to explain further. And there's no end to explaining Krishna. So Bhagavate means unto him who is possessed of all transcendental opulences. Yeah, it's an important word in Krishna consciousness. We need this word. And Vasudevaya means, well, there are various meanings. One, who is all pervading. And another is, who is the son of Vasudev? Vasudev and Vasudev. The son of Vasudev is Vasudev.
Vasudev and Vasudev.
It's
the son of Vasudev is Vasudev.
Right, they have certain German. That's a patronymic name. Yeah. It's a patronymic name. In Slavonic languages, they have patronymic names. The name is derived from the father's name. In German, I don't think. Well, they have in every language. John in English, they have Johnson, like that. Harrison, so many, right? So many. Smithson. Yeah, Erickson, yeah, like that. So, it appears to be a contradiction. That who is all pervading is the son of Vasudev. But that is another, we said that Bhagavate means full of all opulences, so that's another opulence of the Supreme, that all contradictions are harmonized in him. Sorry, this is getting a little difficult.
This is linguistic. Another opulence from persons and qualities, that's alle Widerrufe, also alles in ihm versammelt ist.
Because he is transcendental to material nature, he is not bound by the conditions of material nature.
Weil er über der materiellen Nature steht, ist nicht gebunden von dem materiellen
He is beyond the three main limiting conditions of material nature.
Er ist außerhalb von den drei, also hauptwirkende Eigenschaften dieser Welt.
Which are time, space, and who can think of the next one? The three are time, space.
Die drei sind Zeit, Raum.
Matter. Well, space means everything within it also. In this context, space means everything within it also. The third one is thought.
The dritte is Gedanke.
That he's beyond what we think is possible. Krishna is beyond that imagination.
Was wir denken,
beyond our thinking ability.
Was wir denken ist möglich. Krishna ist out on über diese Vorstellung, unsere Vorstellung, woran wir denken können.
So Janmadhyasya Yataha means is the description of the supreme ultimate reality.
Janmadhyasya Yataha bedeutet die Beschreibung von der höchsten Person.
So the basic description is that reality or that entity from which everything emanates, by whom everything is maintained. First of all, say that entity from which everything emanates.
Also,
sorry, this I somehow or other I got into a really tough.
What is that? No.
Tough.
I lost the beginning.
That entity from which everything emanates, that which is the source of everything. Let's say it in an easy way.
Also, das ist dieses Wesen, von dem alles rauskommt.
That from which everything comes.
Yeah. Das von dem alles kommt.
That in which everything exists.
Das in dem alles existiert.
And by whom everything is maintained.
Und bei wem alles erhalten wird.
And who affects destruction also.
Und der auch für Zerstörung sorgt.
So there's three things: creation, maintenance, and destruction.
Also es
everything is created, maintained, and destroyed by him.
Alles ist erschafft, wird erhalten und ist zerstört.
But he is not created, maintained, or destroyed.
Aber er ist nicht erschaffen, erhalten, nicht erhalten worden oder zerstört.
He's of a different category altogether.
Er ist einfach von einem ganz anderen.
Anriyad itirateshva vignyaswarat. So, he is, I meditate upon Lord Shri Krishna, he is directly and indirectly conscious of everything, yet he remains aloof. Yeah, just say little by little. He is directly and indirectly conscious of everything.
Yes, directly.
Yet he is independent of everything.
Jedoch ist unabhängig von alles.
By him, Vedic knowledge was imparted into the heart of Brahma, the first created being.
Durch ihn, welches Wissen wurde im Herz von Brahma, das erste Lebewesen, offenbart.
And by him, even great philosophers and highly advanced demigods are bewildered.
And by him, sind höchst vorgeschrittene Philosophen und Wissenschaftler werden von ihm verwirrt.
And that bewilderment, an example is given of that bewilderment.
Und diese Verwirrung, es wird ein Beispiel gegeben.
It's compared to a mirage.
Es wird mit einem Mirage verglichen.
Just like one may see water on land, which doesn't really exist. Or one may see fire in water. He is Amrisha, beyond falsity. The falsity is in this material world, but he is beyond that falsity. Non-truth?
Okay.
Amrisha. And he always exists in his own transcendental abode, which is free from illusion. This material world is full of illusion, but his own abode is free from illusion. He is the supreme reality, the supreme truth, and he is to be meditated upon. We meditate upon him. So, I remember first reading this, and it's a tremendously powerful and definitive statement. And I'm still reading it and meditating upon it, and it remains a tremendously powerful statement of the supreme all-powerful.
Und wenn ich es immer wieder lese, es bleibt eine außergewöhnlich mächtige Behauptung über die höchste Wahrheit.
But maybe the most amazing fact about Krishna is that he's not only all powerful and all opulent.
Aber die Sache ist, dass Krishna nicht einfach allmächtig und allopulent ist.
But he's also all sweet, all loving. But we cannot actually know what is sweetness and loving according to our experience of sweetness and loving in this material world. Bhagavatam introduces us to that person who is the supreme reality.
Bhagavatam stellt uns vor diese höchste Persönlichkeit,
which is a shock to many philosophers.
Dass diese Persönlichkeit die höchste Wahrheit ist, wirklich ein Schock für viele Philosophen ist.
Who presume that the supreme reality cannot be a person.
Welche behaupten, dass die absolute Realität keine Person sein kann.
Because a person is limited.
Weil eine Person limitiert ist.
Every person has limited intelligence.
Jede Person hat eingeschränkte Intelligenz.
For instance, every person has limited physical strength.
Jede Person hat eine beschränkte
Every person has a limited span of life. We're talking about the three limits. One of them is space, so we're limited by space also. We're sitting here in Nauheim.
Eine davon ist der Raum, also wir sitzen zum Beispiel in Nauheim.
So this body, which corresponds to the person or is intimately linked with the person, is here, and it's not in Bonn or Freiburg, for instance.
Also dieses Körper, das mit der geistigen Person korrespondiert, ist hier, ist nicht Baum zum Beispiel.
And specifically, it's here. It's not even on the other side of that divide. Not, not to speak of Bonn, which is a long way away. It's specifically right here. We can state mathematically the position in space. But Krishna, he is a person, but he's not limited by time, space, or thought.
Krishna is a person, but he is not from Zeitraum and
so, even though he is a person, and just like he appears in the wrestling arena, but he's simultaneously present in every atom, and in everyone's heart, and everything is present within him, in his form of Mahavishnu. Everything emanates from him. And everything rests within his impersonal Brahma feature, which is non different from him. Well, in impersonal Brahma aspect, and Brahma Jyoti is it describes the feature of another feature, but Brahma, I mean, that's the actual description. So although it might appear that, well, Krishna is it's just some story of some young boy, it may not even appear that interesting, you know, he's fighting with some wrestlers. I mean, there are many more interesting stories. This Harry Potter is a very popular story, right? It must be, I presume it's translated in German. It must be. So, it must be a very interesting story because people really, you know, they. I think when the latest volume came out, it was like over a million copies sold the first day. So it must be a very interesting story. I don't know because I don't read Harry Potter stories.
Es ist sicher eine sehr interessante Geschichte für die meisten Menschen, weil bei der ersten Ausgabe wurden Millionen von
But the story of Krishna, I mean, it's not from the story point of view, it may not even appear to be that very interesting.
Die Geschichte von Krishna kann vielleicht nicht so interessant, also von materiellen Sicht nicht so interessant erscheinen.
Nevertheless, the stories of Krishna have formed the basis of India's vast spiritual culture over many thousands of years.
Jedoch Krishnas Geschichte hat Indiens lang große Kultur von tausenden von Jahren erhalten.
And we can safely predict that when the name Harry Potter is totally forgotten in human society, that the stories of Krishna will remain popular.
Wir können jedoch sicher sagen, dass die Geschichte von Harry Potter nach einiger Zeit verloren wird, jedoch das wird nicht mit Krishnas Geschichte.
And the reason is that, well, Harry Potter is just imagination and Krishna is reality.
das liegt einfach daran, dass die Geschichte von Kalpata eine Einbildung ist und die Geschichte von Krishna ist Realität.
Well, there, even in the mundane reality, there are many interesting stories.
Sogar in der materiellen Realität gibt es viele interessante Sachen.
I guess there must have been many books written about the life of Hitler.
Es sind sicher mehrere Bücher über Hitlers Leben geschrieben worden.
It must be very interesting.
Muss sehr interessant sein.
How he came up from being a complete non-entity to being the most powerful person in the world by various political means, and not, you know, very ruthless means. Political and various ruthless means. Ruthless, lacking ruth. Lacking human consideration. And out of the Second World War, so many interesting stories and movies came out. I don't know about in Germany, because Germany was on the losing side, but in the Western, in the English-speaking world, so many interesting things came out. One devotee told me he had seen some movie called Schindler's List. And I remember as a kid watching a film about the Nuremberg war crimes trial or whatever it was, the trial of the Nazis in, was it in Nuremberg?
Yeah.
They were all hanged and shot or whatever. So anyway, I'm just giving these as examples that real life stories are often very interesting. The Schindler's List and the Nuremberg Trials movie was based on real, you know, actual events in history.
Also, ich gebe einfach ein Beispiel, dass Geschichten, solche Geschichten von wahren Leben einfach sehr interessant sein können.
Well, I don't know if it was the most appropriate examples to give in Germany, but anyway, the point is that it's interesting.
Das war wahrscheinlich nicht das beste Beispiel, was ich in Deutschland.
Might not be very polite of me to say all these things in Germany.
Also das ist wahrscheinlich nicht der beste Platz aus Deutschland, diese Sachen zu sagen, aber es sind einfach interessante Geschichten.
And in comparison, the stories of Krishna, they might not seem to be that interesting. I mean, one of the most, the crux or the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's meditation on Krishna is that of Krishna leaves Vrindavan.
Also die Essenz von Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhus Lehren ist, dass Krishna Vrindavan verlässt.
Now that doesn't seem to be from the story point of view, it doesn't seem to be that interesting.
Von geschichtlichen Sicht, das mag nicht so interessant.
Krishna was very popular in Vrindavan, and after he left, everyone felt disappointed.
Krishna war sehr berühmt in Vrindavan, und als er
But why is it that the stories of Krishna in Vrindavan and leaving Vrindavan will still be recited long after Hitler is forgotten.
Warum ist es so, dass Krishnas Geschichten in Vrindavan und wir Vrindavan verlässt, lang nachdem Hitlers Geschichten vergessen werden, also Krishnas Hitlers Geschichten vergessen werden, Krishnas Geschichten werden lang danach zu erinnern?
It may seem impossible that Hitler will be forgotten, but be assured there will be a time in history when his name is not even remembered.
Also es wird sicher eine Zeit kommen, wo er gar nicht über ihn gehört hat.
But Krishna will be remembered.
Aber Krishna wird,
that again is because Krishna is the supreme ultimate reality.
Das ist so, weil Krishna ist die höchste Realität.
And Hitler is, you know, for all he may seem terrible, but he's just another ant. Practically, he's just a speck, insignificant creature in the long annals of history.
Hitler mag für viele sehr gefährlich erscheinen, jedoch ist wie eine Ameise, also wie ein klein und bedeutendes Wesen in dem ganzen Universum.
He seems very big and very important to us. But we are only tiny living creatures in a tiny planet.
Er mag sehr bedeutend für uns erscheinen, jedoch wir sind kleine, winzige Lebewesen in einem kleinen Planet.
Just like the ants, if the ants have their nest and if someone comes and pours hot water on them, to them it's like a catastrophic event by some terrorist.
Zum Beispiel, wenn die Ameisen dann jemand heißes Wasser darauf. Genau. Also, dann ist das für die Ameisen wie eine Katastrophe, also von irgendwelchen Terroristenfluss.
So our condition is like, you know, we're like ants. We're tiny little beings.
Wir sind wie Ameisen, kleine winzige Lebewesen.
But Krishna is significant.
Aber Krishna ist.
And the stories of Krishna, they are told again and again and again, and will be told again and again.
Aber Krishnas Geschichten, sie wurden wieder und wieder erzählt und werden wieder und wieder weiter erzählt werden.
Because apart from being all opulent and all powerful, Krishna is also Akhila Rasa Murti. He is the Emporium, that word is used sometimes. Emporium of all rasa. Do you have that word emporium in German? He's the reservoir. Of all rasa.
Different. They say it's false.
It's a different word, yeah. He's the. Of all rasa.
Also, obwohl, also außer dass er alle opulent und obwohl er alle opulent ist, er auch die Quelle von allen, der Reservoir von allen Rasas.
Yeah, and rasa is a word which is probably best left untranslated because it's not very translatable.
Und rasa werden wir besser unübersetzt lassen, weil es nicht gerade übersetzbar ist.
It is one literal translation of rasa is taste.
Eine literarische Übersetzung von rasa ist Geschmack.
So, apart from the taste of food, or the primary meaning of rasa is the taste that one experiences in various emotions.
Also,
sense of wonder.
Also, yes,
Chamatkara, Bhara, Bhu.
Rasa kann bedeuten, also zum Beispiel, also nicht nur Geschmack, also es kann auch bedeuten,
the taste that one gets?
The Geschmack, das einer bekommt. Das bedeutet Rasa.
So the taste that one gets in contemplating Krishna is so wonderful that everything Krishna does is the source of more and more ecstasy for the devotees. Okay, your brain power is running down. Running out of power. Yeah, the taste that the devotees get from contemplating Krishna is it's so wonderful that they just want to go on hearing about Krishna and meditating upon Krishna. And they aspire to live with Krishna and be with Krishna. That rasa, that taste of experience with Krishna, that is always increasing because it's not material, it's not limited by material conditions. So Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna. Bhagavad Gita describes Krishna. And actually, if one knows how to read the universe, the whole universe describes Krishna. Everything describes Krishna. If one's consciousness is Krishna eyes, then he sees how Krishna is present everywhere, in everything, and everything is in Krishna. Then at every moment, patipadam purnamritas svadhanam, at every step one tastes at every step of life one tastes the full nectar of being with Krishna. So Krishna is the wrestler. That's his fun. He's a fun-loving God. Of course, for Chanara, it wasn't so much fun. That's the name of the wrestler here, who's about to be a dead wrestler. That was his great fortune, to be killed by Krishna. Actually, everyone's killed by Krishna. Hitler was an instrument. Of course, it's not that Krishna's a nasty person killing everyone, but everyone gets their karmic reactions. If we say this, people get very upset. But actually, it's a fact. We're not saying that Hitler was innocent by any means. He was a demon. But it's just like people, they talk about the Holocaust, but there's a Holocaust going on every day all over the world. The slaughterhouses, just like they had these death camps away from the civilization, away from the cities. So they have the slaughterhouses away from the cities. Every day millions of cows, sheep, chickens and other creatures are slaughtered. So, well, that's another angle of Krishna conscious philosophy. There's so many ways, there's so many points to discuss. It actually gives a completely different perspective. It's very interesting. I just came from Russia. One interesting point. I just came from Russia. And I was showing one of the devotees there. I was discussing some points with the devotee there. And somehow you're talking about, you know, some years ago there was some war in Serbia and what's that place near to Albania? No, not that war. Not that war. Another war came after that. Kosovo, yeah. So in the Western world, we heard of the atrocities committed by the Serbs. Atrocity means atrocious activities. Things like, you know, going into a village and killing people and hanging them upside down from trees and raping all the women and... burning villages. Anyway, we heard about what the Serbs did to the Kosovs or whatever they are, Albanians. But on the Russian side, because they supported the Serbs, they heard about all the bad things that the other side did to the Serbs. It's not news. It's not, they tell you we're giving the facts, but it's just propaganda actually. So, we have different perspectives according to the material identification we have. In Indian history, Aurangzeb is recognized as a tyrant. He was a Hindu hater ruling India, and there was all kinds of atrocities committed during his rule. Whereas Akbar, another ruler, Mughal ruler in India, he was considered enlightened because he actually was kind of, he was very liberal and he liked Hindu sadhus and this and that. Akbar. But then I read the history of India, Bangladesh and Pakistan in when I was in Bangladesh. I read it was an English book. It was meant for the school courses. History of Bangladesh, the country, there hadn't even been such a country. It was less than 10 years that it ever existed at the time when I was reading the book. Anyway, it was written from a Muslim perspective. So according to them, Aurangzeb was great and Akbar was a useless guy. The fact that Aurangzeb, you know, he just killed so many people and forcibly converted so many people. They consider that good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just making the point that we have different perspectives according to what we subject us, what information or what perspectives we subject ourselves to or we are subjected to. So in Krishna consciousness, we want to subject ourselves to this perspective of reality, who is Krishna. So in Krishna consciousness, our perspective is different to that of the Russian perspective or the CNN perspective. Or the German perspective. But our perspective is that the whole material world stinks, whether you're Russian or American or whatever. The whole place is a useless place. And even the pleasant summer is just another trap of Maya. Germany in the summer seems to be quite pleasant. Well, just wait a few more months. It won't be so pleasant. And even that pleasantness is, it's like there's the nice smell of the sticky paper with a nice smell that the fly comes and lands on, then he's trapped. So Krishna consciousness means the perspective of reality which is Satchit Anandamay. Which is the platform of eternity, bliss and knowledge. Eternity, knowledge and bliss. Alright, are there any questions about this? Comments? Objections? Yes.
But what, for example, if we lose the taste, you know, like we read maybe two times or something, the same book, you know, then somehow, you know, we cannot enter so deep in this, you know, taste of Krishna consciousness and vice versa. So what happens?
Well, translate the question. Now you have to say in Deutsch. Deutsch. Well, don't lose the taste. The taste is there. One thing is, if we're trying to read or understand Krishna through German lenses or Russian lenses or whatever material, then we won't get the right vision. If we fill our consciousness with material sounds, then it'll be difficult for us to appreciate spiritual reality. If we're more accustomed to reading the newspaper than reading the stories of Krishna, then that may seem very attractive to us. Oh. Oh, by the way, that reminds me of someone. I met an Indian man on the He told me there's some bomb blasts in India. I guess I have to find out what's going on about that, because it's in places that I regularly visit. Yeah, yeah, you can do, why not? All my ramblings. So we're not saying that we should be so otherworldly that we're not aware of what's going on in the world. But our consciousness should be focused on Krishna. If we do that, then we'll get a taste for Krishna. I mean, personally, whenever I say this first verse of Bhagavatam, I find it every time, I find it tremendously enlivening. In comparison with which, you know, everything that everyone's talking about in the world just seems like so much blah, 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 babble. It's the quality of thought is just so much more elevated than... Especially then, I mean, even any philosophy, what to speak of, you know, what goes on in the news, and the main news seems to be like sports most of the time. It's like this, in the summer what was that? There was European football, and there was Wimbledon tennis, and then there's something else, and then there's Olympic Games, and it just goes on and on and on. And so much importance given to that which is not important. Someone lifts up a great weight and they get a gold medal. You can bring any baby elephant and they'll lift a heavier weight. So these people who want to be a great weightlifter, they can become an elephant in their next life. They're spoiling their human life. So, especially in modern society, people put so much importance on things which are really trivial. And not even trivial, just imaginary. This Harry Potter is the example. Anyway, well, you can have more wide reading, discursive reading. Read Ramayana, if you like. That's very, I mean, story-wise, it's very interesting, isn't it, Ramayana? And Mahabharata is very interesting. Although it doesn't as directly focus on Krishna as Srimad Bhagavatam does. But it's not just interesting, but it's also highly didactic. It means instructive, not just teaching, but it's instructive, it's like improving. Giving good instruction for improving your life. Morally instructive. Mm. It will improve your character by reading this. It will lead you to higher thoughts. Higher thoughts and higher action. Higher thoughts are followed by higher action. We see this Bhagavad Gita, I mean, the whole thing is that Arjuna, he's torn apart, that, you know, he doesn't want to do wrong. He's so much concerned that I don't mind to die, but I don't want to do wrong. He's so much concerned with that. So there are many things to read. You can have a wider reading, but please come back. Make the basis of your reading Srila Prabhupada's books. There are many books published in and around the Krishna conscious movement these days. And I'm also writing books. Some of my books are available here. So this is all good. This is all meant for the glorification of Krishna. If it is meant for the glorification of Krishna, it's good. Some things are more peripheral, like Ayurveda and things like that. But Srila Prabhupada's books, they remain in a category of their own. Because Srila Prabhupada is the great pure devotee of Krishna, who is specifically sent by Krishna to present knowledge of Krishna to the world. And by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we can understand Krishna we can understand Krishna. So other books, they are continuing that tradition, but they are supplementary to Srila Prabhupada's books. Is that all right? Yes, please.
This is inspired. You were telling examples about if somebody like to read interesting stories. Those are stories about Prabhupada. They were very interesting.
Yeah.
And really, like, we read today in temple. Today morning. Study Prabhupada's character, Prabhupada's qualities through this
books about Prabhupada. Fully Krishna conscious. Yeah. It's amazing in this modern, totally materialistic age how you wouldn't imagine that there could be such a person. It doesn't seem possible in this age, but Srila Prabhupada showed, yes, it is fully possible. Yeah, please translate. It's a lot to translate all at once.
Also, zum Beispiel am Morgen haben sie ein Buch über Srila Prabhupada gelesen und das ist auch sehr, sehr inspirierend zu lesen, ne? Weil Srila Prabhupada eine so außerordentliche Persönlichkeit war und er sagte ja auch, dass der Srila Prabhupada das total nicht nennen muss. Ne? Also,
Prabhupada, he was so practical also. It wasn't that he was like, you know, like some living on, there's a saying in English, living on cloud nine. You know, they're just kind of in some kind of dreamy world. Not at all. Not at all. Prabhupada was absolutely practical. He was perfectly in one sense, perfectly integrated with the world and able to work in it. On the other hand, he was totally beyond this world because he was with Krishna.
Auf der einen Seite beschreibt Prabhupada, also sehr integriert und Weg hin zu arbeiten und auf der anderen Seite war halt total gegensätzlich.
So, Jai Srila Prabhupada. That's actually the title of one of my books. Yeah, anything else?
So, he's saying that he read, like the GBC handbook, the definition of Diksha, he said, and it's like,
could be only so physical.
Yeah, can only be given to like the physical, like present.
Mm-hmm.
And Shri Prabhupada, in the books, he writes that actually the main part of Diksha is transferring, like giving some spiritual knowledge.
Yeah.
Ja, und jetzt die nächste Frage, ist es möglich, dass die Diksha von physikalischer Anwesenheit eines Gurus wichtig, abhängig oder nicht? Der Prabhupada sagt nein. Aber einmal dazu an.
No, this question is that, and he's wondering if Diksha is like depending on the physical presence of the spiritual master or not?
Well, what is the meaning of Diksha? There, this has to be understood in different ways. The Shastric definition is there. Divyam Jnanam Yato Dadyat Purva Papasya Sankshayam. Tato Diksha Vidhanena Veshikas Tattvako Vidai. People who know what they're talking about, they say that Diksha is that process by which transcendental knowledge is transmitted. And thus sin is completely destroyed. So that's the definition of Diksha, or rather, that's a definition by giving the effect of it. What is the effect? Yeah. Now there's also the ceremony of Diksha, which, according to Shastra and tradition, is given by a person. Yeah. Wait a minute, I didn't finish. It's a big topic. And there are certain elements of that Diksha too. This, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote an article on this called the Pancha Sanskara, the five elements of the Diksha ceremony. Which are the giving a name to the disciple, which requires a person to give that name. Giving a mantra, speaking a mantra in the ear of the disciple. Giving tilak. Traditionally, at the time of initiation, the guru actually applies it physically on the body of the disciple. That's pondra, and then there's tapa, which means to, literally means to brand the hot marks of Shankar Chakra Padma Gada on the body.
Tapa, this is another aspect. This is when you, verschiedene Zeichen, die sich im Körper einbringen. So, also eine Muschel, wo man
and what's the fifth one? I can't remember. Anyway, the essence of that is, the essence of Diksha is Shiksha, but there's also a particular ceremony that one sits in so that one becomes accepted as a Shishya, or a disciple. Shishya means disciple. Just like a disciple is connected with the word discipline. The shishya, which is the Sanskrit word for disciple, is connected with the word shasan, which means discipline. It means, it literally means ruling over. So, if one is very advanced, one may acquire spiritual knowledge by mystic union with the previous acharyas. That's possible. Or even, we find Haridas Thakur, we don't find that he has any Diksha Guru. We're not aware of any Diksha Guru of Haridas Thakur. No, you're way out chronologically. Jagannath Das Babaji comes many, many generations after Haridas Thakur. In our list, we don't. The initiating guru of Jagannath Das Babaji, who is Madhusudan Das Babaji, his name is not given. Although he did have a Diksha Guru. It may not be necessary in the case of someone who's practically already liberated anyway. But then Diksha is particularly meant for those who are not liberated. But Krishna himself, who is the guru of everyone, showed the example of the necessity to accept a guru by himself going to a guru and learning physically and serving. So there is a modern idea which has been invented by some people that you just take initiation from Prabhupada. And you just read his books and that's it. You don't need any Diksha Guru. I mean, your Diksha Guru is Prabhupada. So. But actually, if you read all of Prabhupada's books and letters and everything, you never get that idea unless someone who made it up told it to you. So that person who made that philosophy is interpreting Srila Prabhupada's instructions for you, and every guru does that. Who has made this Ritvikism philosophy, they're actually interpreting Srila Prabhupada's instructions, or they're delivering their understanding of Srila Prabhupada and his instructions to you, and you accept that if you become a follower of that. You don't And if you accept a Diksha Guru, then you accept, you understand Prabhupada and Krishna through how he instructs you. So definitely the knowledge is in the books, but we don't form our, even the understanding, we don't form it independently. It's not just from the book. But all our thoughts, which constitute our consciousness, it's a very complex amalgam of influences from this life and previous lives. So even when someone reads Prabhupada's books, it's not that they're just reading it, but they have so many. They interpret that through the thought patterns. Weltanschauung is the German word. I don't know if I pronounced it properly. Yeah, through whatever they have acquired through association with various ideas and persons previous to reading Prabhupada's books. So it's better to be, that's why it's go to devotees and be guided by them, as Prabhupada has guided us, on how to think. Many theological questions will arise. Just like, for instance, if you read Prabhupada's books, you'll find right there in Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna says, Yadgadvana nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. That once having gone to the spiritual world, one never falls from that. Now, however, we find that Srila Prabhupada repeatedly says that we fell from the spiritual world. Now, if you just read the book, how are you going to solve this? How are you going to get around this apparent contradiction? You're raised in Germany in the age of feminism. And repeatedly in Srila Prabhupada's books and in the original texts, there are statements that women are less intelligent. How do you understand that in terms of your previous conditioning? And in terms of observed reality? I think the Chancellor of Germany is a woman now, is it? Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah. So how are you going to understand these things? Just by reading by yourself. Srila Prabhupada is giving transcendental knowledge, but it may not be so easy to understand without it being explained. Or actually, everything is there, but to out of the vast statements to coalesce them in one's understanding, it's better to go to someone who's already done that, isn't it?
Und mehr oder weniger wird alles irgendwo ausgesagt. Aber das dann so in Einspannung zu bringen, das ist so leichter, zu jemandem hinzugehen, der das schon verstanden hat.
Just like if you want to study physics, what's best, to start off prior to Isaac Newton and try there, or go to the college and get taught?
So genau wie man dann zum Beispiel Physik lernen will, kann man erstmal zurückgehen zu Isaac Newton und von da anzufangen oder zum College zu gehen.
Well, you could just read the books, the college textbooks.
Man könnte einfach nur die Bücher von der Universität lesen.
But you'd have a pretty hard time understanding it. Prabhupada's books, he's presented this knowledge very straightforwardly and clearly. It's amazing. I mean, this is very, I mean, the philosophy in these books, it's very subtle and deep. Srila Prabhupada is absolutely empowered by Krishna to presented in a manner where we distribute the books on the street and people read them with no, absolutely no background of understanding. But at the same time, it's just like you go to the university to study, so in the same way, those who have been studying these books for many years, who have been practicing that for many years, who have been trained in that for many years, they can certainly help you through the various philosophical and theological depths or difficult points. And it's actually devotional to do so. We're not just talking about knowledge here, but we're talking about bhakti. Divya Jnana means knowledge of bhakti. Divya Jnana means spiritual knowledge. It means knowledge of bhakti, of love of Krishna. So the Vaishnav culture of Guru Bhakti, it's intrinsic to Krishna Bhakti. And the idea, I don't have to learn anything from anyone, it's antithetical to bhakti. I can just do it by myself. I mean, Guru Bhakti is so much part of the culture of Vaishnavism, to say that, you know, that you don't have to personally serve anyone, you don't have any person that you interact with. It's just so antithetical to bhakti. I mean, the persons who made this up, they're the Protestants of the Vaishnav world. It's like that. It's something like that. I don't need, of course, it's me and Jesus. I read the book and it's between me and Jesus. That's all. And reject. No one, there's no saints, there's no spiritually advanced people, and they're all, everyone who others see as a saint, we are more intelligent. We see they're all just bogus people who are exploiting others. That's the way they see it. No faith in any Vaishnavas. Wherever you see a Vaishnava, you immediately look at him and say, what's wrong with it? You know, try and find out the faults. That is the practical effect of this Ritvik philosophy. And it's just so stupid, I just can't believe it. I mean, no doubt there have been severe problems in our ISKCON society. It's a difficult time in many ways. It's a difficult time in many ways. But this so-called solution is, you know, it's throwing out the baby with the bathwater. You must have. You would say that in German also. We've had so many problems with gurus in ISKCON, therefore the solution is no more gurus. I've seen their newsletter, and it, you know, sometimes it's just ridiculous. I mean, I was seeing one thing, they were criticizing Lokanath Swami for, he's giving a series of lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam, and at the end, so many people purchase a full set of Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, and he signs it for them, and they're saying, see, how is it, who is he to sign his name in Prabhupada's book? He's just encouraging people to take that they've heard from him, they have faith in him as a representative of Prabhupada and the Bhagavatam, and they want his blessing, you know, they want to take it with his blessing, they feel encouraged by that, and all these people can do is criticize. Yeah, and then saying that, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and others poison Prabhupada, I mean, it's just too much. You know, everyone had problems with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He was. Everyone had problems, even Prabhupada, you know, sometimes it seemed like that he gave a heart to, but Prabhupada loved him. There's no doubt about that. And he loved Prabhupada. And to say that he poisoned, I mean, I don't want any forensic evidence. It's just too ridiculous. Yeah, I'm known in ISKCON as a kind of maverick sannyasi. I'm just kind of I'm critical and this and that. But there should be some discrimination and some, you know, there are faults and problems, and we should be aware of them and not be naive. But there are certain limits also.
Can you say again, because I have
severe maverick means a bit, you know, a bit of an outspoken and not exactly conventional. Well, he was, but in a different way. About myself, yeah.
Okay.
Now that's one of Prabhupada's brilliant qualities, that he was able to take people like Tamal Krishna Maharaj and that, you know, just such a strong personality. And, you know, but Prabhupada engaged him in Krishna's service. He was surrendered to Prabhupada. Yeah, I don't think he surrendered to anyone else, but he surrendered to Prabhupada. And then because he understood that Prabhupada's wishes, he And he went on serving Prabhupada. Anyway, I'm just giving that as an example. It's no easy thing. But one thing we learn from after Prabhupada's disappearance is there's really no one like Prabhupada. And there's no replacement for Prabhupada, although no one's really proposing that there is a replacement for Prabhupada. But at the same time, pushing on this Krishna conscious movement in this difficult age, I mean, let's give a little credit to those who are trying to do it. You know, it's not such an easy thing.
It's for another couple of hours. Question.
The thing is that, well, actually, Jiva Goswami states that Shiva Tattva and Guru Tattva, there are two which are very difficult to understand. Because they're both, you know, God and not God at the same time. Guru is to be respected as good as God. Which, it's difficult to understand when you say, you know, the person eats, sleeps, and, you know, gets sick and gets angry sometimes. And well, that's why Krishna says, Acharyam mang vijani annavamaneta karhichit namartya buddhya suyetan sarvadeva maya guru. That one, Krishna says, the Acharya should be known as good as me. And never insulted or envied in any way. And shouldn't be considered like an ordinary mortal because he's the representative of all the demigods. So it is difficult to understand, but it requires faith. Faith that, well, Krishna made this system and Krishna's helping me or is ready to help me by giving me that guidance that I need. If you don't have that faith, well, you know, you'll go on doubting forever. But at some point you have to make the leap of faith. It's an English saying, leap of faith. It's a leap of faith. You have to, you're here, and you want to get over there. And in between, you don't know, there's a big, deep hole. So you have to have the faith that you can jump over. It's like jumping in the dark or something. It's a philosophical term. Someone's saying, "You come, you jump, it'll be all right," and you can't see and you're not sure, you just have faith. And if you don't have faith, well, you remain on this side. So faith is required also. But if you become so much, You know, you want to understand by analysis and logic, and then you get stuck on that platform. So we're not saying that there shouldn't be a philosophical understanding, but it has to be accompanied by some faith also. Faith that Krishna does care for me and does want my benefit. And that Krishna works, as he says in himself, we find in Shastra, Krishna works through his devotees. So, you can pray to Krishna, please, I'm confused, please show me what is correct. Please give me that guidance by which I can come to you. You can pray like that, if you want it. I know several instances of devotees who've been confused, and then they pray, Krishna, please send me a guru, and immediately, in each case, if you pray sincerely, practically immediately, Krishna will arrange. They prayed to Krishna, or they prayed to Prabhupada, and immediately, Prabhupada has directed them to ISKCON gurus, believe it or not. Can we go on with this? I think we had the essence of it. It's a matter of perspective. It's not, you know, you can quote this and quote that, but like I say, ultimately, the element of bhakti has to be there, the desire to attain bhakti. You can't understand, you say even if, you can't understand Prabhupada not just by analyzing and taking one statement and putting it against another statement. It's not an unintellectual process, but it's not only an intellectual process. And even if it was, you'd be stuck because, you know, we have limits of our intelligence, which is why we need guidance also. So, Hare Krishna, don't mind, I'm going to leave it there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. If you like, you can transcribe that and send that to the Ritviks, and they'll analyze this in their magazine and find out all the faults with everything I said. And they'll go on beating their drum, and you know, we'll go on beating this one, and we'll see at the end who gets Krishna. I'm very much aware that at the end of my life, I have to meet Prabhupada and give my lifetime service report. Of course, he knows everything, but you know, ultimately we all have to answer to the boss. Okay, Hare Krishna. Am I initiated by Prabhupada? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my great good fortune. How about? But you know what? You know, it's a great fortune than to be initiated by Prabhupada. And you have to translate this. There's a greater fortune than to be initiated by Prabhupada.
There is no greater?
Greater, yes, grosser.
There is.
There is
greater.
Is to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So, if you follow Prabhupada's instructions now, you're in a better position than those who are formally initiated by Prabhupada. Here I'm saying formally, F-O-R-M-A-L-L-Y. Rather than, but who are not following. You can still get the same benefit, just like we can get the same benefit that Arjuna got from hearing from Krishna. Yes. Well, what about you? Why don't you chant? I'm actually trying to save my voice because I keep on losing it. All right, although we sannyasis are not supposed to hear that, which is probably why you got Miro to translate, even though, if you don't mind me saying, you're a much better translator. He doesn't have that much practice. Seems like that. I mean, I don't know German, but... I'm not criticizing you, I'm just making a statement of fact. I don't know. It's difficult to measure. Oh, one other thing, just before you start, Sorry? Oh, I see. So play them quietly, yeah.
Maybe somebody could
One thing I want to announce before everyone starts to break up is that I also have some books here. I have some books here which I'm trying to distribute. It's the only way I get to distribute them. I'm on Prabhupada's order, I'm writing books. You can say in German, because you never know, someone might. Oh, so this.